Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday morning will be taken from Ephesians. And we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14. You can remain seated for an epistle reading. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, continuing in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption to himself as the sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, this is your word that is before us, and we ask by the power of your Spirit that you would allow this word to penetrate into our hearts. But Father, we would not hear of the wisdom of men or carry on in the tradition of others, but rather, Father, allow this word to sanctify us in the truth. For truly, Father, there is no truth outside of this word. We ask it in his name. Amen. So this word that is brought to us by Apostle Paul, he's preaching to the believers in Ephesus. Very powerful time. He's trying to bring to them the encouragement of who they are and that God has never lost sight of them. And I think this is extremely important for us to understand, because God desires for relationship with each and every one of us. Sometimes we turn this around and we try to make it that maybe, you know, there's only certain few that can and certain few that can't, and we go into a more dual predestination kind of understanding. God has destined some for heaven and some for hell. I don't believe in that at all. God has planned a path of salvation for each and every person. And that plan of salvation is the gift of Jesus Christ. This is extremely important to understand. It is God's desire that all would be saved. It's not God's desire that any would see corruption. And so when we turn around and we read a text like this and we hear a word about predestined, it's like, wow. So in other words, we don't have anything to say about this. It is still by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. He's offered it to everybody. He's poured it out into this world. You have raised children, most likely, if you've had children. You hopefully raised them. But the point being is that you have a plan for them. You know, you raise them up and you say, okay, we're going to teach them at home until they go maybe to kindergarten, maybe first grade, whatever. And then we're going to put them there. And you allow this plan to go all the way through. And then you bring them to Sunday school. You allow them to go through confirmation. You go through all of this process. It is your predestined idea that these children will walk on this walk of faith for the rest of their life. But does it necessarily guarantee it? It doesn't. I can't figure that out. I don't know who will, who won't. But it doesn't mean that there wasn't a plan that you as a parent or as a loved one has put into place. I would, in my humanness, in my raw humanness, I would love to force my children to do exactly what I think. Not saying it would be right, but it would be nice if they never varied. How'd that work for you? Did your children ever vary? Your brother or sister, did they ever vary from the path that mom and dad set before them? Maybe mom and dad, did they always do what they were supposed to do? This is what really the scripture is saying. God loves us. He's given a path of salvation. He's given the plan of salvation. And he's called us to follow it, if we could say it in those terms. And so don't get confused when you start hearing about predestination. I do believe in predestination. God has destined a plan of salvation for each and every one of us through Christ Jesus. I just don't believe in dual. Because God is not the author of evil. He's not seeking for the destruction of any. And so when you get time at home, maybe look that up and see what I'm talking about. But there are a lot of groups out there that believe some God has destined to heaven and some to hell. And I just can't see it. But anyways, I am about ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, he says, I'm Paul. I'm a sent one of Christ Jesus, actually because God wanted me to go out and represent him. So Paul is saying, I am really an apostle, which means a sent one. He says, obviously of Christ Jesus, so I am a sent one of Christ by God's desire, by the will of God. God wanted it. He says, now I'm speaking to you. And this is interesting because sometimes we want to take a lot of scripture and apply it to everybody. But that's not what Paul is doing here. Paul is clarifying. There are conversations that we have with the world, and there's conversations we have with the believers. And that's never wrong to understand. We will speak in a different way sometimes to believers because they acknowledge and understand what we're talking about. But sometimes you speak to someone that doesn't have a full understanding, and you can bog them down, confuse them, scare them. When you are as children, you drink milk, and when you get stronger as adults, you eat meat. Paul says that in another place. But anyways, he says, I'm speaking to the saints, those that are set apart for God's purpose. That's what a saint is. It's not about being old. It's not about being dead. Oftentimes, when you look at some religions or some, I guess, religions or whatever, but some congregations, they believe a saint has to be passed. Well, I'm glad that I don't have to die to be a saint of God. I am sanctified. I am set apart for a purpose. And that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all set apart for a purpose. We are purchased. And they'll talk about that later. But anyways, he says, to the saints who are in Ephesus, he says, and he's going to clarify it more, and are faithful to Christ Jesus. He's speaking to the believers. So I pray today that I'm speaking to believers. And maybe if you don't have a full understanding, come and talk to us and read your scripture, get more involved, and we'll gladly share the gospel. We're not going to share Jesse with you. I don't want to share Raz with you. I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you, that you would understand the free gift that has been offered to each and every one of us. But for now, we're going to assume that a majority of us here understand Jesus Christ and him crucified, understand him as our redemptive work. He says, first thing he's going to bring to you is grace. I want you to understand the unmerited favor you're standing in. That God has given you grace. If you are able to believe in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, your grace table has been opened up immensely. Even the Gospel of John says that he came to give grace upon grace. That really means immeasurable grace to us. So he says, grace to you, and because of this, as we could say, Romans brings out to us, because of this grace, you have a peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You are at peace, not by what you could perform, not by what you had done, but by what God has completed in and through Christ Jesus for you. He says, you are blessed. He says, you are strengthened. You are encouraged. You are held up. He says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Nothing is held back from us. Sometimes I think that we think that, well, maybe we only receive part, because we have a tendency to equate this blessing with gifts, spiritual gifts in the body. That's not what he's talking about here. Each and every one of us will have a unique gift to be able to share with the body, to encourage the body. But we are all blessed in the same way. What I mean by that is oftentimes we can turn around and we can look at, you know, Susie. I'm trying to think of a name that's not in this congregation. Maybe we have a Sue, sorry. But the fact of it is, you know, Susie is so great at singing. I mean, she just, you know, a whole host of heaven just comes to listen to her sing. And then we can think, what do I have? Well, that's a gift. But that's not just the blessing. Blessing is that you are redeemed by the finished work of Jesus Christ, that you are a child of God, fully standing before God the Father in Jesus Christ, and you are perfect. This is what he's talking about. Yes, we have our earthly side that we battle, but in the eyes of God, in Christ, we are perfect. We have every blessing, all that we need. We don't have to improve on it. We don't have to try to figure it out. We don't have to do seven steps. We don't have to get rid of things. We stand in Christ. Now, there may be places in our life God will call us by his Spirit to improve, but that is personal for each and every one of us. But we are all blessed equally in Christ. He says, so you have received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. This is something that I think we forget. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're already at the throne of God. Jesse forgets this a lot, and he dwells too much on this earth, and he sees difficulty on this earth, and it overwhelms him at times. And I have a friend, I've shared this with you before, that it just seems like he doesn't live in reality. He lives in heaven. And I remember getting upset at him, saying, it's like you're already in heaven. And he says, I am. By the finished work of Jesus Christ, I am seated in heavenly places. To understand and know that, it gives us the strength to endure what we have to endure. No matter what they throw at you on this earth, you are seated in heavenly places. You are the child of a king. He says, so you're seated in heavenly places, even as he chose us. God has done this work. It's not about the religion of man. It's not about what we can perform. It's not about some elder that can say you're in or out. God has done this work. It is by grace through faith. He says, even as he chose us before him in the foundation of the world. What he's saying here is God has always desired to be with you. God has always desired for restoration for each and every one of us. This is his natural desire. The person that doesn't believe, God still desires for restoration. The person that's caught in the deepest sins of the world, God still desires for restoration. The person that thinks they're so religious, they got it all figured out, believe it or not, God desires restoration. God has always desired that we would be with him. That was his plan from the foundation of the world, that we would have this relationship. I don't understand why this is so difficult. The fall comes in, that was foreign. But God always desired relationship. And so he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And smugness. Is that what it says? No. It says in love. Jesus says something very interesting. They will know you are my disciples by what? How you love one another. Amen. How you love one another. This is why I even try to encourage you in an earthly sense, come to an annual meeting. Come and talk to a board member so that we can love one another. Maybe we're not hitting everything on the right cylinders. I don't know. I'm not saying we're not. But I'm just saying we need to know what we need. We need to know what you need. We need to have love for one another that we can answer to these areas that maybe are getting neglected. This is what we're talking about. It's unity. The body of Christ should be in unity. It's hard sometimes to see that with men. It could be women too. I'm saying human beings. But the reality of it is, you know, when you go through and you watch people fighting religion, it blows my mind. Why should something that was given to us to create unity, has it caused such division? Because men, in reality, try to cause that division by thinking they know what God wants. What God desires is restoration. He desires relationship. He desires that we would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that yes, we would repent, we'd turn from this world, we'd turn from ourselves, and we'd look to Him and His grace. It is a free gift. He says, so we would stand blameless before Him. How do we do that? In love. And ultimately, the ultimate love is, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Are we showing the same love? Do we show it to our brother and sister in Christ? Do we show it to our neighbor? I'm not saying I got to figure it out either. I need work too. But this is what we are as Christians. They will know you are my disciple by how you love one another. And somehow we take this as, you know, they're going to know you're my disciple, and I'm going to pick on my best friend here, Steve, because we love each other. No, love one another. Not just the ones you think alike with. Are we impacting people with love in this world? Because Jesus did. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So, He now predestined us for adoption. God had a plan of salvation through Christ Jesus that we all could receive. We all could receive. Scripture brings that out so many times. But it's always predicated in faith. I remember one time I was struggling because you hear a lot about religion of men. And up here we see a good flavor of it because we see so many different styles of congregations. Even our own congregations sometimes are not united. And it's sad. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I'm not pretending I'm holier than thou. But the reality of it is it's just this gift that God has given us is so precious. But sometimes human beings try to confuse it with different little labels or different little understandings. And He really says that no, enter into this world and love one another, encourage one another. Because when you watch people and they start going through family events, weddings, funerals, things like this, it can often get to be a detriment because of the different ideas in religion. But yet God gave us Christianity for unity. How can something that has supposed to have drawn us together driven us so far apart? Because we forget Christ. We can't forget Christ. Without Christ, we can do nothing. He says that very plainly in the Gospel of John. Without me, you can do nothing. And when we pick up on tradition, we pick up on religion of men or those kind of things, we divide. It's so funny because you can come to some pretty heated conversations about, I want to say, church politics or things like that, and that can really cause a lot of anxiety for people because we wander away from the center, Christ Jesus. It is Christ and Him alone. We all seem to agree to that. Even some of the more conservative places in our area will agree to that. But we forget once we start talking. It is Christ and Him alone. So He says He's planned this way of adoption to Himself. How? Through Jesus Christ. Let's bring this a little more clearer. Whose sins did Christ die for? Mine and mine alone? Zion Lutherans and Zion Lutherans alone? He died for the sins of the world. Scripture says it very plainly. I was struggling one time, and I had to go down to the seminary to see one of my professors, and I won't name him, and this time I won't, because it's probably a controversial subject. But I went to him, and I told him straight out, I said, I'm struggling with something. And so he said, what are you struggling with? I said, more and more I study, the more and more I read, I come this close to a universalist. Universalist means that God saved the whole world. Doesn't matter what they believe. Now, if you're done listening, you're going to label me. That's fine. You can go to sleep now. But listen to the rest of the story. And so my professor was very smart in asking me, what is this? It's faith. It's faith. Faith is the ultimate ingredient for salvation in Christ Jesus. It's not about, you know, our politics. It's not about what group you belong to. It's not about any of these things. These things, yes, there can be wonderful traditions. There can be a great understanding within a body. But it is always about the faith of Jesus Christ and Him alone. What separates you from the world? Faith in Christ Jesus. No, not faith in a tree or in a goat or anything else. Not faith in Ratama, or it's not faith in the Pope, not in Luther. It's faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. My professor looked at me and smiled and said, stay there. Because it is by grace through faith that we are saved. It is a gift of God. And so he says very plainly, he has given this path of salvation through Christ Jesus according to the purpose, in other words, the working of what he wants. It's what God wanted. He wants to save. He wants to redeem. He wants to restore. He says, and he did this all to the praise and glorious grace, of his glorious grace, the revealing of his powerful grace. That's what John says in the opening of John. He gave grace upon grace. I've heard it said before, there's too much grace. How can you have too much grace? God is the one to give it. And in the Gospel of John, it says it's immeasurable. He says, his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved, in Christ Jesus. That's where he gave it. That's how he's done it. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood, that God sent his son into this world to buy us back. He knew we were going to be lost. He knew in reality. He knows all things. So he sent the redemption. Instead of arguing about it, maybe we should share it. Instead of trying to contain it in churches up on the hill on 400 Ingot or on a blue roof or over on Sharon Ave or down in the old Shopko building, maybe we should share it. That people would know the hope of glory, Christ Jesus. He says he has given this for us. He's done all of this. He says that we would have this buying back, the redemption in his blood. And then he finally comes out and says it very plainly. Your sins are forgiven. By the finished work of Jesus Christ, your sin debt has been paid. He says, according to the riches of his grace, not your performance, not what you can do. He says, and honestly, he's poured it on us. He's poured it out. And he's not dumb. He poured it out in all wisdom and knowing what it meant. God took a risk with us. But he's a big boy, and he can handle it. He loves us and seeks for restoration. That is a Christian message, that we would enter into this world and preach the redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, that one would hear and believe and receive this for themselves. It's not about whose boy, whose girl. It's not about what building. It's about his finished work. And he says, he did this in all of his own insight. And really what he was doing is revealing the unknown mysteries of his will. That's what mystery is, the unknown. He was revealing what we couldn't understand that he wanted. He says, really, according to his purpose. This is why he sent forth Christ Jesus, to save us, to give us life. He says, and he had it in a perfect timing. He did it in perfect timing, and he was bringing everything back to himself, all the things of heaven and all the things of earth. The restoration is found in him and him alone. He says, and really, and in him, we've obtained this inheritance. In Christ, we've obtained this. We've gained inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose. Following the path that he has set forward, we receive. Because he works all things according to the counsel of his will, what he wants. I want you to hear this for 1 second. I'll put it in very plain English. God desired you so much, he sent his son so that you could have life. He gave his son so that we could live. His penalty pays our debt. That's huge. And it's not just here for this room. It's for the world. But do they believe it? I was trying to explain to the confirmation class today. My nephew's in there and he likes four-wheelers and things like that. And I said to him, I said, what good is it if your dad or mom bought you a brand new four-wheeler but hid it out back of the garage? Never told you about it. It's still his, technically. He doesn't know it. Mom and dad did the work, got it, and it's just sitting there. But we share the good news that it have an effectual work in your life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God has redeemed, and we share that message that they would have this hope and that they would receive for themselves this redemption, this buying back. He had this plan from all time. He set it in motion. It's all by his own will, what he wanted. He says, so really, understanding this makes us the first hope in Christ, that we would be the praise of his glory. We are the fruit of his work. That's what this says. You, brothers and sisters in Christ, in faith, are the fruit of God's work. That's huge. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe it's kind of old for us. But man, is that huge. We are the fruit of his work. He says, in him also, when you heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news that God has done all of this, and you believed, you received this by faith through grace, you've been sealed. There's a work in there that we miss when we start talking about dual. God offers it. God gives it. We take, we receive, we understand by the power of his Spirit and his word. We get it. It blicks with us. He says, and he's not going to leave you alone. He gives you a down payment of heaven. Each and every one of us. Jesse forgets it when he gets angry. Jesse forgets it when he gets frustrated. Jesse forgets it when he has lust or any other issues. We're not alone. He gives us his Spirit. Do we rely on that Spirit? Do we call to the Spirit in times of struggle? Do we call to the Spirit in times of indecisiveness, questioning? The Spirit will lead us to his word. His word will encourage that Spirit. He says very plainly, he sealed us with the promise of his Holy Spirit. He says, and he's really the down payment of the guarantee of heaven, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we actually do it face to face. Receive it upon our last breath or until Jesus comes. He says, for what purpose? All for the praise and honor and glory of God. Do you realize who you are? You are a child of a king who has surrendered everything for you. He created you, he gave you life, and he redeems it by his own blood. We are children most blessed. Live in this world as a light, a bright light, sharing not condemnation, not religion, but sharing the love of God that others may receive the same hope. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.